feel tonight, but I am at a point where I have been overwhelmed with the reality that it is only by God's grace that I am saved. There is nothing that I could do ever to have gained salvation. Amen. We're going to be looking at James chapter 1, verse 5. And if you have been in Sunday school, you'll recognize this passage as being one that we ought to know even before now, but particularly for our Sunday school memory verse time. So if you would turn to James chapter 1, and then we're going to be turning to another passage later in 1 John. But before I jump into this, is there anybody that needs a handout? Malia, did you get a handout? Okay. If Chris, if you could get her one. Does anybody else need a handout tonight? See, the handout, I call it the accountability sheet. See, I like to get off on tangents. So when I give you a handout, you know, you can help keep me on track. So let me pause and just help me to focus and just say a quick word of prayer as we begin the message. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is truth. Lord, thank you that you are a God that wants to be found, that if we seek you, we shall find you. Lord, I pray tonight that you would help our hearts to be open to your truth, that we might rightly apply it and live as light and salt in our community. Lord, we love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight's message is, if you lack wisdom, what are we supposed to do? Phone a friend? Watch the news? If you lack wisdom, look on social media. If you lack wisdom, what does 1 James 1, 5 say? If any of you lack wisdom, let him hide and read every book in the library. Is that what it says? If any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And I think my favorite part of this verse is that last phrase, and it shall be given him. Well, let me give you a little background before we get to this verse. I've actually preached a sermon or two in the last few years leading up to this. But we saw previously that we will fall into diverse temptations. And we looked at some of the reasons that we have trials in previous times. And I would say that some of the reasons we saw was to test the strength of our faith, see how strong our faith is, to humble us, maybe we have pride in our lives, to wean us from our dependence on worldly things. We have trials that come into our life. You know, we get very dependent on things, instead of God. God might give us a trial that would change our dependence back to Him, to draw our attention heavenward, or to surface our real affections, even to remind us of God's values, or to widen our ministry and strengthen our usefulness. And I would also argue that many times trials come in our life to enable us to help others as they go through their trials. Someone has rightly said, no one has ever been greatly used of God until he has been broken by God. You know, you can tell someone who has been through trials. They have a little bit different attitude and response to circumstances of life than someone who is, shall we call them, green. They haven't been through many life experiences. They haven't had a lot to deal with in their life. Maybe they've had an easy life. But those who have been broken often have a much different response. Now, James has already told us that we should let patience have her perfect work. And now we're going to see how to get wisdom. If it says if you lack, the idea of that is to be without. Now, how many of you have ever gone without something, right? Now, my children think that it's horrible because we ran out of microwave popcorn and we have to go without it. You know, things like that is an example, right? I'm going without. You know, today's generation, we have so much access to so many things that there's not a lot of going without things, as it were. But here we're talking about the idea of being destitute, of lacking. You don't have something, the lack. And if you look at the previous verse that I just mentioned, James is talking about trials and tribulations. He's saying that trials are going to produce endurance. And he says, count it all joy when you have these trials. Now, how many of you last time you got a flat tire said, oh joy, in a real meaningful way? Or last time you got an unexpected bill in the mail, or last time you had an unexpected sickness, or last time you had some sort of difficulty in a relationship and you said, I'm joyful about this. Glory to God. I have another trial in my life. Well, I would say that maybe he's not talking here about the over-exuberant joy, but he's talking about that in your heart. It does. When you go through a trial, your joy is not lost because of the trial. In fact, you look at it as in a joyful sense, in the idea that, okay, what can I learn? How can I change? What is God trying to teach me? If you come to a trial and you don't know exactly what God is doing through it, then ask Him. Ask God to help you see things through His point of view. If you lack, now notice the next word, wisdom. This is the idea of God's point of view. It's the idea of practical application of biblical truth. Now, it's the first blank I put in your handout. The idea of wisdom is practical application of biblical truth. That's the definition I'm going to give it tonight. Now, there's a lot of people that know a lot of Bible, but they don't have any idea what to do with it. Now, that's knowledge. And if you look in Scripture, you'll understand that we are to have knowledge of Scripture. But if we don't know what to do with it, we're going to see here that we are to ask of God. So when we lack wisdom and lack understanding of why things might be happening, or it's the idea of lacking the ability to have God's perspective on what's going on, we have an inability to see that at this moment, and we don't know what He wants us to learn. So I'm lacking this wisdom of applying God's truth to my circumstances today. When that happens, when I don't know how to apply God's word to the events of my life today, what should I do? Notice that next phrase. Let him read social media. Is that what it says? You know, that was in the Greek, right? I don't know that there was ever a Greek word for social media. Of course, not back then, but let him what? Ask of God. Now, listen to this carefully. This is an imperative verb. The idea of this, it's a command. When you don't have wisdom, do this. It's not just a suggestion. It's not just simply giving some advice. Hey, when you don't know what to do in the circumstances of your life, you might want to consider this course of action. No! It says, when you don't know how to apply the Word of God to the circumstances in your life, ask God. It's an imperative idea of a command. If you're in the midst of a trial, then you must pray and ask God. But notice the next blank I gave you there is you must have a teachable spirit in the midst of a trial. I would argue that the asking God for wisdom is a reflection of someone who has a teachable heart. So as you are asking, you are demonstrating, I want to learn. God, what is going on? How can I apply the truth of your word? God is saying something like this. If you fall into some sort of trial in your life, you must do something in the midst of that trial. And God says, ask me for wisdom. You know what is incredible as you think about this? Is you come to God and you ask Him, and you know what? The later verse, it says, let him ask of God. My favorite part of that is the last phrase, it shall be given him. But before we get there, I keep trying to jump ahead to that. Let me read to you what one commentator said. He said, if a believer who is being tested is not driven to the Lord and does not develop a deeper prayer life, the Lord is likely to keep the test active in that person's life and even intensify that trial in their life until the child comes to the throne of grace, until he makes his ear attentive to the wisdom of God and inclines his heart to understanding, as Proverbs 2 verse 2 says. Did you catch that? God often will take that trial and perhaps intensify it until you learn it. You know, I think that's something that we deal with in parenting, is our children have something to learn and we give them a verbal instruction and they don't listen. So we give them a little bit more instruction and they still don't listen. And it gets a little more, we give them an action and a little more and we give them further instruction. I think sometimes in our trials, you know, my first prayer ought to be, Lord, please help me to learn what you want me to learn now so I don't have to go through this for a long time. But I think there's many times when I don't get it. In fact, there's many times in trials, I'll confess it right now, I forget that I should go and ask God for wisdom in my trials. Let him ask of God. Ask who? God. There's nothing that I personally can do for you spiritually other than this. I can lead you to the one who can help you spiritually. I can point you to God. Now, I think it goes without saying that when a believer is in the midst of trials, their prayer life is strengthened, or at least it should be. If you're in the midst of a trial and you're not praying more, then you're not getting this verse right here. If you're in the midst of a trial and you're not asking God for wisdom and praying for that, I think you're missing right here what this passage is telling us to do. So when faced with a major trial, what should be our first response? Our first response is to ask God for wisdom. Now, I'm not saying that we don't seek advice from other spiritual people. There is wisdom in seeking advice and counsel from spiritual leaders. But I will tell you, when we go to God, it's going to be, hey, here's the verse, here's the chapter and verse, here's how he's going to instruct us through his word. Notice it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and this is my second favorite phrase in this verse, that giveth to all men liberally. I'm not sure if I like all or liberally better in that phrase, because all means it is me, and liberally means he's going to give me more than sufficient amounts. You see, God gives generously. This word carries the idea of doing something unconditionally, without any bargaining. The only thing we have to do is ask. The moment I come to God and ask for wisdom, he immediately and generously, without bargaining, without negotiating with me, will grant me wisdom. You know, the problem is, though, is I've got these blocked receptors. It's called sin. And so often, God's got to clean out my receptors of his wisdom before I can receive it. Did you catch that? God is wanting to give us wisdom. I ask. But so often, my receptors are blocked. Whether it's I'm not getting into the word and reading it so that I can understand the truth of his word. Whether it's some other sin in my life that's inhibiting my prayer even. If I regard iniquity in my heart, what does the rest of that verse say? God's not going to hear your prayer. If I pray or paraphrase it, the Lord will not hear your prayers. You got to deal with that first. So he gives liberally when we ask, and he upbraideth not. That's the idea. He doesn't insult you. It's not a reproach. He's not treating us harshly or severely or reprimanding us. He's not going to belittle us for asking for wisdom. You know, God doesn't say, you ought to know that. Didn't you read it in that book? I gave that to you. Come on. Go look it up yourself. Right? I mean, does it belittle and beguile you? Psalm 81 verse 10 says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. That is an example of the character of God, that when you come to him and you ask, he will give. Notice that next phrase, it shall be given him. God will grant it. There's a whole bunch of verses. I'm just going to read through these here. Jeremiah 29, verse 12 says, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all thine heart." God is a God that can be found. He wants to be found. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Matthew 7, verse 7 says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." It doesn't say might. It says shall. Matthew 18, verse 19 says, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 21, verse 22 says, "And all these things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive." John 14, verse 13 says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." John 15, verse 7, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and that shall be done unto you." John 16, verse 23, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Do you see the character of God in all of this? He's not sitting up there going, "Ha ha, I got all the blessings. You know, I'm not giving them to you." God's not a blessing hoarder. God's not a wisdom hoarder. His character is such that he wants to give. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Because I think this goes hand in hand. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." Do you realize that at the beginning it says, "And this is the confidence, the trust, the reliance, the belief, the assurance." Somebody can come with confidence, and that is you and me. This is the confidence that we have in him. This word confidence means that we have free access and freedom to speech when we come to the Father in his presence to present our petitions. We can do it confidently. And there's one basic requirement of the child of God that he must meet before he is able to boldly come before God in prayer with confidence. And your next blank there is, all known sin must be confessed. We need to have a clear conscience before God. 1 John 3, verse 21 says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Notice it says, if our hearts condemn us not. Let's deal with the sin in our life. Let's get those receptors free. Have you ever had a condemning heart? You know there's something wrong in your heart. You go to pray and it seems like your prayers simply bounce off the ceiling, as it were. There's something nagging in your hearts. Clear your conscience before God and man. You know, it can be in a lot of areas. Husbands and wives, 1 Peter 3, 7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto thy wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Did you realize that your relationship with your spouse can hinder your prayers? In Matthew 5, 23 and 24, we're told that if we expect answers to prayer, we must not have aught against our brother. You realize that when I have a conflict between another brother or sister in Christ, it can hinder my prayers. We see in John 15, 7, we are told that we must be walking with Christ, abiding in him, and his word abiding in us, if we're going to receive what we ask. You know, the parallel with that, and on my series on prayer, we've talked about it, but when the word of God is really engrafted into our hearts, what flows out of our heart in prayer is in alignment with His Word. And we understand that we need to have His Word abiding in us, because then it flows out naturally that way. Let me just express here three things about prayer that we see in this 1 John passage. First of all, it says we must ask. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask. You notice a believer can go without asking. You know, there's a lot of passages you can talk about. Ye have not because ye ask not. So often we have issues where we are expecting God to give us things even though we haven't asked us. I love it when my children, one of them gets something and the other one says, how come I didn't get that? And it's because you didn't ask. Why did that child get it and this one didn't? Well, they didn't ask for it. You want one? Ask for it. I'll give you one. Why did they get an ice cream bar and I didn't? They asked for it. Oh, that's all I have to do? Yeah. Can I have one? Here you go. So often it's like that with God in our prayers. E.M. Bonds put it this way, prayer is a channel through which all good flows to men. Prayer is a privilege, a sacred, priceless privilege. Prayer is a duty, an obligation most binding and most imperative, which should hold us to it. But prayer is more than a privilege, more than a duty. It is the appointed condition of getting God's aid. It is the avenue through which God supplies man's wants. The author S.D. Gordon wrote this. He said, the greatest thing anyone can do for God and man is to pray. It is not the only thing, but it is the chief thing. The great people of the earth today are the people who pray. I do not mean those who talk about prayer, nor those who say they believe in prayer, nor those who can explain all about prayer. But I mean those who take time to pray. G. Campbell Morgan said, any discussion of prayer which does not issue the practice of prayer was not only not helpful, but he said it's also dangerous. Moses in Exodus 15, the people were murmuring and he cried unto the Lord and the Lord came to his aid. Hannah asked for a man-child and God gave her Samuel. Elijah in 1 Kings 18, he prayed, and what happened at the altar there when he was competing with Baal? Fire fell from heaven. The early church in Acts chapter 4, it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. We need to seek him. The author Machaney wrote in his book, what a man is, he is alone on his knees before God and no more. So first, it takes the asking part. The second part we see in verse 14 is we need to ask according to his will. Asking in line with what God would have us to do. The key is asking God for wisdom, and asking God for wisdom is to ask Him to show you His will, how He would have you apply His truth to today's circumstances, how He would have you apply the truth of the Word of God to your life. Lord, show me Your will and how I should respond, how I should act, how I should pray in this situation or that situation. George Mueller said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. Prayer is laying a hold of God's willingness. I must pray according to God's will. Lord, please give me $1 million tonight. God says, well, why do you want that? Well, so I can be rich and have a lot of fun. Oh, wait, I'll give the 10% to the church, so I got that covered. I'll give a little extra to missions too. God's like, wait a minute, what's according to my will? What about James chapter 4 verse 3? Ye ask and receive not because you ask what? Amiss. That ye may consume it upon your lusts. You know, God can see the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. God can see our motives when we pray. God understands that. And we need to ask according to His will. Notice what it says. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. I would say this verse also inversely tells us that He sometimes just kind of, you know, has that deaf ear on some of our prayers because it's not according to His will. It's an interesting thing. It doesn't say He doesn't hear us here, but by inference, when we ask according to His will, He heareth us. The inference would be when we don't ask according to His will, He doesn't hear us. Now, it doesn't say that explicitly, so this is the commentary part, okay? Not the inspired part. More than just having our request registered with Him as we ask according to His will, He's very attentive and He listens to them. The idea of heareth is that He's very attentive. You know, you can tell, you know, you ask your kids, you know, did you hear what I just said? Yeah, I heard you. Well, repeat it back to me then. You know, God doesn't happen with God. God doesn't do that. You see, when we ask according to His will, it says right here, He heareth us. John 9:31 says, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, He heareth him. Him He heareth. Sorry, I switched those backwards. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. Proverbs 28:9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. So what do we do when we don't know how to pray according to God's will? Well, we ask Him to reveal how we ought to pray. And we look at His Word where He reveals His will. We fast and pray. We ask for Him to give us wisdom how we ought to pray. If we want prayers heard, then it has to be according to His will. And we know His will because His will is never contrary to His Word. So the third thing, we have to ask according to His will. The third thing that we see about prayer in this verse, verse 15, and if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. You know, my children come and they ask for things. Dad, can you get me this or can I go and do this? No. Why not? Well, it's kind of dangerous. You know, riding your bike off of a 30-foot cliff is probably something not very wise to do, unless you're one of those trained professionals who do those sort of things, jumping and all that on the bikes, you know. Dad, can I have a fourth candy bar for dinner? Well, no, why not? Well, Mom and Dad are trying to get you good nutrition, right? You know, Mom and Dad, can I have whatever it is, you fill in the blank. And here's Mom and Dad saying, no, why? That's not according to Mom and Dad's understanding of how you should live your life. It's not according to Mom and Dad's will. But oh, what a sweet blessing. You know, my wife is a wellness consultant, right? With corporate wellness. Kids come up and, Mom, can I have another bowl of fruit? Why, yes, I'll give you three, right? You know. There's things that just bring joy. And when we ask God according to His will, how joyful do you think that makes God? Notice verse 15, it says, He will answer. He answers the petitions, the requests. Wiersbe put it this way, the pages of the Bible and the pages of history are filled with reports of answered prayers. Prayer is not spiritual self-hypnosis, nor do we pray because it makes us feel better. We pray because God has commanded us to pray and because prayer is the God-appointed means for a believer to receive what God wants to give him. Prayer keeps a Christian in the will of God and living in the will of God. It keeps a Christian in the place of blessing and service. We are not beggars, but we are children coming to a Father who loves to give His children not only what they need, but what they desire when it lines up with His will. You see, we must pray according to His will, and it is God's will that He gives us His wisdom. And His wisdom never is contrary to His word. We must pray according to His will, then He will answer. But you know what? He doesn't always answer according to my timing, to our timing. He doesn't always answer the way that I think He should. So often I have the attitude of praying, "Our Father which art in heaven, my will be done on earth and in heaven. Give me this day my T-bone steak." Right? You see where I'm going with this? "And lead me in the ways that I want to go. My will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I'm kind of making this up parallel to the Lord's Prayer in case you didn't catch that. That's my attitude though, right? My attitude in prayer. And you know what? God sees straight to that. And God says, "You know what? We got to deal with your receptors first. We got to deal with the sin in your life. We got to deal with your attitudes. We got to deal with your spiritual position first." So where do we go for wisdom? Go to the news? Is that what you've been doing? Times are tough, and so you go to social media. Times are tough, so you get out a book other than the Bible and you read maybe about the Bible. Where do you go for wisdom? How to apply the truth of God to your life. Let me close with this illustration. Henry Ford invented the automobile, and he built a great auto company named after himself, the Ford Motor Company. Now, Ford was a pioneer in the automotive industry. Beginning in 1908, he built the Model T. How many of you have ever driven a Model T? Anybody in here? I didn't ask you if you bought one off the line. Okay. There was a guy back in Indiana who actually had a Model T. I didn't get to drive it, but I went and sat in it. And I'll tell you what, from over 100 years ago, it's phenomenal to think what he did at that time. He also is credited with inventing the assembly line method of production, the method that lowered the cost dramatically in not only the automotive industry, but ended up in other industries as well. Ford is said to have been a tight-fist man, despite being worth over $188 billion. One time a part broke in the electrical generators at his factory, so Ford called up Charlie Steinmetz, who built the mighty generators, to come and fix the problem. Now, this man who had built the generators came out to the factory, he toyed with the generators for a couple of hours, and he had them up and running again. Ford was very pleased until he received the bill. The bill was for $10,000. Shocked by the sticker, the price of this bill, Ford inquired of the man who had built the generator why his bill was so high for only 2 hours of tinkering. So he replied back, "For tinkering with the generator, $10. For knowing where to tinker, $9,990. Ford paid the bill of $10,000. You know, when we have a problem in our life, wouldn't it be nice to have someone that knows where to tinker? In order to get things straightened out in our life, just as Ford knew the creator, the builder of the generators, you know, we know the creator of the universe, the creator of us, of our lives. And you know, we have direct access to Him anytime that we need wisdom for a difficulty, for a trial in our life. God promises, He tells us, that if we lack wisdom, we can ask it of God, and He will give it to us liberally. Who doesn't lack wisdom? If they say they lack wisdom, they demonstrate that they do. Someone says they don't have any pride in their life, they demonstrate that they do, right? Same idea here. If you say you have all wisdom, you demonstrate that you don't. There isn't a person on earth who couldn't use the divine wisdom of God in their life. We might differ in our levels of wisdom and our situations in which we need to apply it, but one thing is for sure, we all need God's wisdom. The question to ask yourself isn't whether or not you need wisdom, but what area in my life, right now, what area in my life do I need God's wisdom? Where do you need God's divine wisdom to know what to do? Ask of God. He promises to give it to you. Don't rely on plan B for guidance. Well, if it doesn't work out, I'll call Mark over there. He'll straighten it out. If it doesn't work out, I'll call Ron. He'll take care of it. No, let's just ask of God. God's wisdom is never contrary to His Word. But we must understand that we have to have receptors that are not blocked. Take time now to confess sin. Ask the Lord to show you, are there areas in your life that maybe your receptors are blocked, or areas in your life that you need wisdom? Ask according to His will, believing that He will answer. We are called to ask. My challenge to you at this time, as we move into a time of response, I'm going to ask Malia to return to the piano and play, is that you would take time just where you're at and pray to the Lord. Lord, where are my receptors blocked? Show me the sin in my life that I might be open to receive the wisdom and ask Him for the wisdom that you might rightly apply His Word to your life today.